seated. It's great to see you here this morning. It's just a blessing to gather together periodically through the year in this combined service, the two services coming together. And we rejoice in that. We are a church. We are one church. And we fellowship together. And again, if you're not used to the fellowship with the dinner and so on, I just encourage you to take part in that. Get to know one another. Get to know someone from the other service, all right? Don't just talk to the people you know or know well. Get to know some other folks and take advantage of this time. And then again, we have the members meeting to follow, so look forward to that. I trust that you've come today to hear from God. God has His Word to teach us, and we have much to learn from Him. And we come to one of the most famous, the most well-known accounts in Scripture, commonly called Daniel and the Lion's Den. So turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, as we continue in our study through the book of Daniel. Babylon has fallen to the Medes and the Persians, and Darius is now the ruler. Follow as I read Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. Those are kingdom protectors. To be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for a complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then the men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the lion's den, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people who are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So, this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel survived the lion's den. How in the world did he manage to do this? How can you survive your lion's den, whatever that lion's den may be? Well, you think about, what kind of lion's den might you be facing in your life? There might be a financial lion's den. You know, you have creditors who are prowling and sniffing about, and they just want to take nibbles and bites from you, right? And you're like, "Oh, what am I going to do, right? You know, how can I get through this?" It might be a relationship where you feel trapped. You're just not sure how in the world am I gonna escape? How can I get out of this? How can I get through this? It might be that kind of a lion's den. It might be an individual in that relationship's just an angry person, and they just want to take you down. It might be a relationship. Maybe you feel trapped in a dead end job. It's just eating away at you. You just don't know how you're going to get through it. How can I endure or make it till retirement or whatever it may be? You know, I've got to get through this, but I just don't know how I'm going to make it. It may be an addiction. It's just something that what we might call a life-dominating sin that continually gnaws and nips at you, takes bites out of you. You're finding it to be a lion's den. How in the world can you survive that kind of thing? It might be fear, insecurity, uncertainty. That's what Daniel faced, right? When he heard this injunction that could not be changed, he had to choose. Do I succumb to the gnawing and biting around me? Do I succumb to that which is just so that it just minimize that or get out of that in some way? It's only 30 days, right? You know, I can close my doors and windows, and I can kind of go off by myself and pray so that nobody knows. Or I can just put it on pause. You know, I God knows. And so I can just kind of put my relationship with him on pause. It's just 30 days, right? How bad could that be? Daniel had to choose. Am I going to just kind of neglect my relationship with God for this short period of time? Or am I going to choose God, and am I going to face the consequence? Of death. Think about that. He had no promise that he was going to survive this. For all he knew, he was going to his grave. Now, that's not a consequence we normally face, right? Now, there are those, even in our world right now, who are persecuted for their faith. They are given an ultimatum. Change from worshiping your God or die. Choose from worshiping your God or face some kind of consequence, some kind of lion's den. And we need to pray for them, right? That's the persecuted church. And it wasn't until recently that we put that on our prayer reminder, right? It was like, man, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are around the world, who are literally facing the lion's dens of the world. Now, here in Troy, Ohio, we don't face that kind of lion's den generally, right? I don't know that any of us have faced the consequence of death because of our faith. But yet we still face the challenge of our faith, right? Your faith is challenged at times. Sometimes we feel intimidated. You know, I'm just not sure if I ought to talk to this person about Christ. I faced that just this week. Someone that I know and I'm getting to know better, I've never talked to them about their faith. But I've been praying for this individual. And I was looking for an opportunity to someday be able to talk to them about their faith. But I was concerned that if I started to talk to them about their faith, whether they had trusted Christ, that they might just say, hey, listen, I don't want to hear about that. And that it would have a negative impact on my relationship with that person. I just wasn't real sure about that. But I prayed. And God bless. And I had an opportunity to talk to this individual. I just ask you to continue to pray. You don't know who that is, but pray that this individual would truly surrender to Jesus. So at times we just feel intimidated. It may be in the workplace. You know, that in the workplace your faith is challenged. They want to cancel you. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want you to talk about that. They want to shut you down. They want to leave you out. They want to silence you. So here's our take-home thought today. Pull your notes out now. And this was all introduction, okay? The take-home thought today is facing your lion's den, whatever that is, facing your lion's den with success requires a habit of faithfulness to God. If there's the key right there. If you are going to face your lion's den, whatever your lion's den might be, and you may not know what that is right now, but whatever that lion's den may be, you can face it with success if you're faithful to God. And you have to develop a habit of faithfulness to God. Look at verse 10. We're going to walk back through some of this passage here, some key points here. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, when he knew that when the king said, this is law, And if you do not abide by this, you are going to suffer the consequence of death. He went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to before his God. Here's the key. As he had done previously. This wasn't something new. He had done this time and again. He didn't arrive on the scene. You know, we hear the account of Daniel and the lion's den ever since we're little ones in Sunday school, right? And we hear this story, and you could have told, many of you could have told me this story. You could have gone got up here and you said, you know, you could have told just about every detail of that story, right? We've heard about that. But he didn't arrive on the scene in the lion's den. He had been faithful over time and time and time again. So again, how can you face your lion's den, whatever it may be? How can you face it successfully? 1 Peter 5, 8 says that the devil, like a roaring lion, he walketh about. He is out there stalking you, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wants to do. It's what he wants to do to you. He wants to chew you up. He wants to destroy you. How are you going to be successful? Be faithful. Be faithful to God. So we're going to look at 4 features of faithfulness this morning. 4 features of faithfulness. Developing this matter of faithfulness, all right? First of all, faithfulness results from trusting God, all right? Faithfulness results from trusting God. Faithfulness grows out from your faith. It grows out from what you believe. Faithfulness, listen, you might jot this down in your notes. Faithfulness is ongoing faith. You're going to believe what you believe because you believe that so strongly that you are going to continue to believe it, and nothing will deter you from that. It's a good place for an amen, right? That's faithfulness. What you believe, you realize this is worth living over the long haul. I believe this now. I'm going to continue to believe this, and I'm going to believe it on into eternity. I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to be faithful to my faith. Look at verse 4 and 5. The high officials, satraps, sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no fault or no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. How often that would that take place in politics today, right? They were looking with a fine-tooth comb. They were trying to, they had the magnifying glass out, and there were no skeletons in his closet. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God, unless it has something to do with his faith. We're not going to be able to bring this guy down." I think of Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, right? It's the faith chapter in the Bible. And it says, "What more shall we say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." Daniel had faith that God could stop the mouths of lions, that God would stop the mouths of lions if he so chose to do that. He believed that God could, and listen, God did. If you believe in something, truly believe in something, you will be faithful to it, even if or when your faith is challenged. Back Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. We've read that. When he knew the document had been signed, he went to the house, he opened his windows, interestingly, toward Jerusalem. What's that all about? God had promised that there would be a remnant that would be restored. He continued to have faith that God would be faithful to his promise and he would take his people back to their home. And so there's hope there. He believed in hope that God would do what he promised. And he got down on his knees three times a day. It's an indication of his relationship with God was continual. And he prayed, and this just hit me as I was reading the text just a few moments ago. And I thought, man, I could certainly preach on this. He got down on his knees three times a day, prayed, and gave thanks. You know, here he was facing a den of lions. He was facing his death. He gave thanks to God. Did you ever think about giving thanks for your lion's den? Again, that wasn't in my notes there, but God had it here. But he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel, making petition, plea before his God, came near, and they go before the king, they make this injunction, and Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, verse 16, commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions, and that is the end of the story, right? Right? No, that's not the end of the story. Humanly speaking, that would be the end. Oh, this is it. This party's over. Here I go. Happened to me again, right? But listen, even if you face a den of lions, remember, God's got this. Amen? Whatever it is you face, is the challenge, the difficulty, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know God's got this. And because of that, you can be faithful. This here, this whole lion's den thing, we tend to think, wow, Daniel. And I think Daniel was a wonderful testimony. But remember, God is the hero of this story. Right? He had faith in a God who is greater and a God who humanly speaking, we would think, man, here we go. This, I'm done. I'm going into the lion's den. No, God's got this. I'm in God's hands. And he shut the mouths of the lions. God is the hero of this story. And Daniel, here's his faith. Daniel believed this. That's his faith. He believed, it says, it doesn't say that Daniel shut the mouths of lions in Hebrews. It says that by faith shut the mouths of lions. It was his faith in Almighty God, right? And God's the one who shut the mouths of the lions. He turned away from his earthly circumstances of the decree, the threat of the lion's den. He turned away from that. And as you faced your lion's den, whatever it may be, and I hope you're thinking about what that may be even in your life right now. It may be something small, maybe something big. But whatever that is, that you turn from that and you look to Almighty God. That's what Daniel did. We can learn from this, right? He believed God. That's what we need to do. turn from our circumstances and look to the Lord. And the initial response should be that of prayer. As you remember the truths of His Word, remember Daniel and all that God said here. And that the lions are out there seeking whom they may devour. But God's got this. God's got your this. And you can believe that. And believing that makes a difference. It should change your heart. It should change your outlook. It should change your attitude. When Daniel was facing the lion's den, they grabbed him, arrested him, whatever they did, they took him. The text gives no indication of a struggle. He didn't go to the lion's den kicking and screaming. He went willingly. He didn't put up a fight. Now listen, this guy was in his 80s. I've read anywhere from 82 to 90 years old. It's like he couldn't fight anyway, right? He's just like, okay, here we go. You know, this is it. Doesn't matter. But he believed God. That's the point. He believed God in the middle of this challenge. When his faith was being tested, he was faithful. Okay, God, I've been praying and I thank you as I face the lion's den. You see, faithfulness minimizes fear. When you have seen God prove himself faithful time and time and time again, you realize you have no need to fear. And so we look at Daniel as he is in his 80s. Now that's not to say you can have fear up until you're 80. Right? But here he is in his 80s and he's like, okay, this is it. I'm going to my grave. And I haven't been that age yet, but some of you are, and you're probably thinking, I could go anytime. But you know, when that happens, listen, there's no need to fear if you have been faithful. And so you rely on your faith. I remember when my grandfather told me when he was 90, he said, Dale, the doctor said there's nothing more that they can do. Of course, you know, we get choked up and like, oh, Gramp. I said, Gramp, you know, this is that for which you have preached for all these years. Right? He had been faithful. There was no need to fear. And if I can just talk to the elderly here for a moment, listen, you don't have any need to fear. You have seen God be faithful, right? Through all those years. You're 80. You're in your 80s or 90s. God has been faithful. You've seen it time and again. You have no need to fear. Here's a passage that I've used in just a couple funerals of men who have been faithful. It's Psalm 112. You might jot that down. It's just a great passage. It talks about the faithfulness of godly men. And he says in verses 6 through 8, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid." Isn't that good? I mean, think about that. God has been faithful, and because he has been faithful, I have no need to fear. So guard against fear by believing God. Guard against any fears that you face by believing God. Having faith in who he is. Going back to the text here, Look at verse 19. Then at break of day, verse 19, the king arose. He had this sleepless night. Listen, he had a heart for Daniel, but his hands were tied. There was nothing he could do about this. He made this injunction, and he grieved over it. He was trying to find a way to get out of this and to not condemn Daniel. Daniel had been such a testimony to this man's life that he was winning his heart. Daniel was winning the heart of this king over to the Lord. And he just did not want to condemn Daniel to death. He tried to get out of it, get him out of it. But at break of day, the king rose, went in haste to the den of lions. He came near the den where Daniel was, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. He declared to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, listen, servant of the living God." You talk about a man who had a testimony, right? He realized that Daniel was a servant of a living God. "Has your God, whom you serve continually," he recognized Daniel's faithfulness to God. "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "Oh, king, live forever." I really believe that Darius's heart was changed. I really believe we'll see him in heaven, much like we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. I think his eyes were open through all of this. So literally, "King, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." This makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Heated seven times hotter than ever before. And they came out from that. They didn't even smell like smoke. And there was the likes of the Son of God with them in the fire. Daniel said, "God sent his angel." I believe that Jesus was with them. I believe Jesus was right there. I don't know what happened in the lion's den, but I could just use the sanctified imagination, right? And he gets thrown into there, you know? And I don't know, lands on a pile of hay or straw. They probably didn't treat him that good. But he's down there and the lions come up. And he just reaches out. You know, you have a dog that comes up to you. You know, you don't just start petting the dog. You know, you just got to put your hand out there. I could just see Daniel going, "Good boy. Good boy, it's okay." You know? And then a little cub comes up and starts, you know, just between his legs. And he's like, "It's okay. It's okay, mama. It's okay. You know, we're good. We're good, right? We're all good." And his angel's there with him. And they come around him and he sits down. One of the lionesses comes up and kind of curls around and he lays his head back on there and they're just purring away. Right? I don't know. But there wasn't even a nibble taken from him. Because God was with him. Right there with him. Just like he promises to be with you and never forsake you. No need to fear, right? Whatever den you face, whatever den you find yourself in, no need to fear. Because God's with you. God's got this. Daniel was not harmed, not even a nibble. Now, his accusers, they were proud, right? They wanted Daniel's position. They wanted a position of prominence. They wanted to be exalted. They wanted to be recognized by the king. They were jealous. They found ground, trying to find ground for a complaint against him. They were deceitful. They they said, they went to the king and said, all of the leaders, all of the high officials, all the satraps, that was a lie, right? How do we know that? Because Daniel was one of them. They were deceitful. Daniel, Darius promoted Daniel because so that the king might suffer no loss. These guys had been skimming off the top of the taxes. They were charging more tax money and so on, or whatever it was. They were taking from the king. The king either knew it or at least suspected it. He was going to put Daniel over the whole group of them. One commentator, Leon Wood, says, these men knew about Daniel's religious commitment and practice, which means that Daniel had not been a secret worshiper of God. He had not hidden his faith in order to keep his office. He was faithful through it all, and everybody knew it. And they knew that he wouldn't change to avoid execution. They knew they had him. They were being deceitful about this. The world does not like it when you live purely. It's like the light. You've heard me say this before. You know, when the light comes into the room, the cockroach is like, ah! You know, they don't like it. I have a friend who was literally told at work, don't work so hard. You're making the rest of us look bad, right? Other people know when you're being faithful. And that's what Daniel faced. And the result, they were judged. Verse 24, the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Again, this wasn't a directive or command of God. It was a command of the king. It sounds harsh, but he had to nip it in the bud. This is not going to continue. We're not going to have anyone get bitter over this and try to raise up an insurrection against me. He says, we're going to squash this right now. This also shows that these lions weren't just little pussycats, right? That God did a work to preserve Daniel's life. These lions were hungry, right? They were judged. The result also, God was glorified. Verse 25, King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree, here's a decree that all should follow, that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. There's a testimony, there's a profession, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. This, I think, plays into the prophecy that we're going to face, we're going to look ahead to here in the weeks to come. That's where we're heading with this. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. It will continue. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. God was glorified and Daniel prospered. Verse 28. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God wants to use your lion's den to bring glory to him. Another feature of faithfulness. Faithfulness grows from spending time with God. Over time. Over the long haul. Verse 10, he got down on his knees three times a day, prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. He had a time, three times a day. He had a place, the window, the upper chamber of his where he dwelt toward Jerusalem. He had a plan. He prayed and gave thanks. Many of you are such a blessing to me. Many of you have heard thousands, literally thousands of sermons over the years. If you think about it, especially if you grew up like me, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, and all the other meetings, I've literally heard thousands of messages over the years. many of you have said, you know, I've really learned a lot since coming to FBC. And then you have your own study and have even taught lessons yourself. And yet, there are those who tell me, you know what, I go home and I re-listen to your message from Sunday morning. And I take even more notes. And I allow God to feed me, and not just through the message. This is just like one meal, right? And if you do that, it's kind of like having leftovers. But sometimes leftovers are even better, right? You know, you just like, everything just mixes together, and you go back through it, and just, yeah, man, this is really good. And some of you, you've said that to me. Then you have your own study in the Word of God. Faithfulness grows from spending time with God, a close relationship with God. If you desire that, that means you have to spend time with God through His Word and prayer. That's how Daniel grew. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as a result, Daniel's character was impeccable. Verse 3, Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials because an excellent spirit was in him. This means he had a good attitude. That's what that phrase means. He had a good attitude. Again, in his 80s. Sometimes when people get older, they complain more. They become curmudgeons. Don't do that. Grow in your walk with God and develop a good attitude. Daniel didn't do that. They looked into every area of his life and they found no skeletons in his closet. They could find no ground for complaint, verse 4, or any fault because he was faithful. No error or fault was found in him. Is your closet cleaned out? Have you settled matters before God? I don't know about you, but I want to be like Daniel, right? I want to have that kind of faith. And in order to be faithful like that, it means you're going to need to spend time with God in His Word and prayer. Another feature, faithfulness grows by being tested. Faithfulness grows by being tested. Daniel's commitment to the Lord was challenged multiple times. And he proved faithful each time. Goes back to chapter 1. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He, in chapter 2, listen, he faced a death sentence in chapter 2. Remember that? That if you wise men of the kingdom, if you don't tell me what my dream is and you don't interpret it for me, you're dead. You're going to be torn limb from limb and your property is going to be taken from you. Right? He faced the death sentence before. He knew what this was like. He trusted God. And God gave him the dream and the interpretation. He interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 4. He interpreted the handwriting on the wall in chapter 5 for Belshazzar. Staying faithful to the Lord even when commanded by law not to do so or face the lion's den, he remained faithful. He still went and prayed, spent time with God. Your faith will be tested continually. And your faith will be strengthened as you endure the test. If you fail, you learn from it. How many can say, you know, I have always been faithful? Man, I have never had a skeleton in my closet. I don't know of anybody, but maybe this guy, right? And the Lord Jesus. Been faithful. Maybe Joseph. So if you fail, you learn from it. If you're successful, you bring glory to God, right? You say, God, thank you for helping me to be faithful. And then remember that the next time you're tested. God, you are faithful. I love that song. All my life, you have been faithful. We just sang that. That just grips my heart because God has been faithful to me in so many ways throughout my entire life. And He's proven Himself time and again. Faithfulness grows from being tested. And then a final feature this morning, faithfulness is proven over time. My good friend Randy Patton says, good starts lead to good finishes. Daniel was able to endure the lion's den because he had been faithful over the years. It started before the exile, right? It started back in Israel, in Jerusalem. And he had been taught and he had learned the word of God. He was ripped from his home, ripped from his family as a teenager. And in chapter 1, that's when he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And he lived faithfully, this is important, while living in the middle of a pagan culture. Didn't have the church. He didn't have parents that were with him. He had three trusted friends. My point here is that we need to be touching lives. We need to be rubbing shoulders with the world around us. To be a faithful witness within the world, not out from the world, not in this bubble so that the world goes, oh, I wonder what that's all about. No, we're rubbing shoulders with the world around us so that as we have opportunity to say, hey, I want to talk to you about your relationship with God. Are you certain you have eternal life? That you may gain a listener, you may gain an ear because you've been faithful. I want to encourage parents, don't quarantine your kids from the world. Teach them to live faithfully in the world. Now, that takes parental involvement. That means that you're going to talk to them about the kids they play with. Hey, what did you guys talk about? You're asking them questions. You know, you're saying, hey, they come to church. What did you learn? They go to school. What did you learn? What are you hearing? You're asking questions that gives you an opportunity to address their concerns. Oh, yeah, you know, Johnny showed me this. And it's like, oh. So that they're comfortable telling you what's going on so that you can teach them how to live faithfully in the world, not out of the world. Interesting, I found a verse in Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 18:1, whosoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. I'm not talking about being a helicopter parent. I'm talking about entrusting your child to God so that they gain some insulation, but not isolation. Teach them to be a good testimony, like Daniel, in the face of opposition. And they need Daniel here as an example of that. Faithfulness is not a one-shot deal. Time is the proof of faithfulness. See, Daniel ministered through the reign of four kings. I love Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. It says, Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. I like the King James here. Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. Be committed to faithfulness over time. And I'm just so blessed that so many of you have been faithful to the ministry of FBC from before I ever got here. I got here 22 years ago in August, right? And many of you, you've been here, you've been faithful. Through the changes, through the challenges, through the difficulties, through the good times and the blessings. Thank you, sincerely. Daniel's faithfulness was observed. It was known. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. Now, here's a final thought. Hang with me in closing. Verses 19 down through 23. Then, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions, and he came near to the den where Daniel was. He cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have not I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. As I was studying this and I was reading through a couple of commentaries, they pointed out the fact that Daniel emerged alive from that which should have been his tomb. Sealed by a stone. Who does that make you think of? Our Lord Jesus Christ emerged. He who died and was buried in your place because of your sin and mine, put in a tomb, sealed, and yet the stone was rolled away. Amen. And he emerged alive from the tomb. That which should have been a symbol of death and destruction became a symbol of hope and eternity. Risen from the dead, proving that he in fact is the Savior. He is your Savior if you would just believe that he did that for you. Died in your place, was buried, and rose again. Won't you believe? Won't you start your journey of faith now? Believing that Jesus did that for you. Daniel is a picture, a beautiful picture of what Jesus did for you. He is alive. Both tombs became a place of deliverance from the chaos of sin and death. Both tombs became a place of deliverance. And your salvation, many of you have come to Jesus, should cause you to commit to a life of faithfulness. So the next time that you're tempted to give up, quit, to throw in the towel, think about Daniel. And be faithful to take a stand when necessary. Be faithful to spend time with God daily. Be faithful when others misunderstand you or even betray you. Be faithful to be a testimony to others. Be faithful to endure the difficulties of this life, the lion's dens of your life. To be faithful over the long haul. To be faithful when your faith is challenged. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that we have here of Daniel, whose faith was in you, Almighty God, who believed that even as he faced the lion's den, God's got this. And thank you that whatever we face, we're in your hands. And we can have faith through it all. Work in all of our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage everyone to ponder these truths. There may be some here or some listening who you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You're not certain, of that salvation through Jesus Christ. We want to help you with that. God wants you to come to Him in salvation, to be certain of your faith, believing that Jesus died in your place. We want to help you with that. We encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that. We have cards out by the Welcome Center. The offering receptacle has cards there. And fill that out and say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to come to Jesus. I want to get saved. If it's personal, private check for pastors only, all believers, we need to be faithful. There may be an area that's holding you back. Say, pray for me while I face the lion's den of. Jot that down. We want to pray for you. We do pray for you. And again, put that in the offering receptacle there. We want to help you, be an encouragement to you.